right. Well, good morning, everybody. Come on in. Time for church to start. Find a seat if you can. All the young people, please find a seat. It's good to have you this morning. Today is one big family Sunday. That means all the kids are with us for the service. We do this on the fifth Sundays of the year. We just love to have our kids with us. We're a multi-generational church, all the way from the little ones all the way up to the oldest of the old. But we're glad that the kids every now and then are with us for the service. So they're with us for worship and the message today. Now, during announcements, we have bags for the littlest ones. So if you've got a little one and maybe they need something to fidget with during the service, we will have a bag for them during announcements. And where's Sarah at? Sarah will grab those bags for you. Okay, so... But we just had VBS this past week, and we had a fabulous time at VBS, and so many kids came out, and Heroes of the Faith was our theme, and so the first night of VBS, we talked about the hero of faith, David, and the second night, the hero of faith, Queen Esther. Then the third night, the greatest superhero of all, the greatest hero, Jesus, and he was certainly our theme. And at the end of the night, every one of the children that were in the lesson part prayed a prayer to give their heart to Jesus. It was a wonderful time. So what we like to do whenever we have VBS that week, we like to open up our service with one of the songs that the kids did during VBS. Now, here's the thing. Though it's not required of the adults, I would highly encourage you to follow along with the song. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have everybody stand up. And this is for the sake of you older people. Stretch, okay? Get stretch real high and stretch low and kind of get yourself loose, okay? That way maybe you can participate with the song. So where are our helpers for the song? These were our superhero worship leaders this past week. Where are they at? Come on out. Okay. You can see they're in their superhero garb. Now here's what we want. All the kids that were here for VBS, come on down. And you can join them right down front here so you guys can help along with the song. So all the kids can come down. All right, Noel, you ready back there? Let's play this song. Let's all do this song together. So if the worship team can come on up, you can grab a seat. Let me just say something real quick. If you got little babies with you and they're just not making through the whole service, our mother's room is open downstairs. You can take them down there and watch the service on live stream if you want. So we're going to go into our regular time of worship this morning. So I just wanted you to sit down so I can say that. So stand back up. Let's worship Jesus together today.
Amen. We need your help with this one too. If you can, stand to your feet and let's worship our Lord. Amen. shouted and the walls of Jericho, they came tumbling down. That was them walking into their promised land. So sometimes it takes declaring victory before you see it. So let's just declare our victory before it. Amen. This morning.
All right. Well, good morning. You can find a seat if you will, please. We're going to take up our tithe and offering. So if you have something to give this morning, there are offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, you can wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will help you out. The ushers also have prayer cards, so if you have a prayer need, and we'd love to join in with you for prayer on that. Join with your faith, with our faith, and believe that not only is God here, but He answers prayers. So if you have a prayer need, go ahead and grab a prayer card from one of the ushers, fill it out, and give it to me or one of the ushers after service, and we will certainly jump in and pray over those prayer needs. So we appreciate your giving this morning. So as you're preparing that, again, one big family, and the kids are with us. It's always a little tad, a little louder, a little bit more messy, but that's okay. We like to have the kids with us. But one thing about one big family is they help me do the service each time we do this. So this morning, I have a helper to pray over the offering. So where's Henry at? Come on up, Henry. Everybody say hi, Henry. So Henry's going to come up here and pray over the offering. I'm going to give you this mic, and as soon as Henry's done praying, you can bring if you have something to give down to the basket. So you ready, buddy? All right, here we go.
God bless you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you would bless the offering and that you would help everyone with Pastor Kylan's message. And we pray that you would just let the Holy Spirit flow into this church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Henry. Before church, he asked me when he came up, was he allowed to take a moment and see what the Spirit might say. So, I love it. All right, so Margaret, why don't you come up and tell them about a couple things before we move on with service today.
Well, good morning, everyone. Aw, thanks. So what a gorgeous day today, right? It's so beautiful. So I'm so thankful that you guys chose to come out and be with us this morning. I just wanted to mention, if you are new here, we have these in the seat pocket in front of you that we would love for you to fill out. Just tell us a little bit about yourselves. And you can give this to myself or Kelly. Kelly, you want to... Kelly up here, and we'll be happy to take that. We promise we won't call you all the time or spam you. We just wanted to have a little bit of information about you. And also, we do have information in the seats in front of you if you just want to know a little bit more about our church. So we've got that here too as well. So we encourage you, if you have any questions, see me afterwards. I'm happy to talk to anybody or answer any questions. So thank you guys.
Yeah, so a couple other things real quick is don't forget church picnic, May the 14th, right after church at Urbana Park. We're providing fried chicken. You guys bring some side dish to share for church picnic. Oh, July, what did I say? May of 2025, I'm giving you a chance to put it on your calendars. So I expect everybody to be there. You know, when I said that, everybody started looking at me screwy. I was like, what did I say? So... In two Sundays, July 14th, I think. So be there for that. Also, don't forget today, we are having memorial service for Jeffrey Wright. It'd be just a wonderful time of not only remembering him, but honoring him today. So visitation with the family that's here will be from 12 to 1. Memorial service starts at 1 p.m. So obviously you knew Jeffrey. Come on out for that. And we just want to take a few moments and remember him today and honor him. And don't forget, next Sunday is Water Baptism Sunday. So if you have not been water baptized in accordance with the commands of Scripture, I encourage you to do so. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I will get in touch with you between now and next week if you signed up for that. Then right when church is over, we're going to go outside and celebrate as a family of faith those that are being water baptized. So that's next Sunday. So be here for that. And then before we get into the Word today, I think most everybody knows that this past school year, we had the privilege of hosting LifeWise Academy here at our church. And 2 days a week, Tuesday and Thursday morning, they bus kids in from Urbana Elementary School, and they spent some time here teaching about Jesus and things of the scriptures. And it was a wonderful time. But we wanted today to do a little bit of a recap and also kind of give a little vision for what's coming up, right? So LifeWise is here to give a little presentation. So Mandy and Sunny, why don't you guys come up? Let's give them a hand this morning. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to them. You want to start with the video or are you going to ask for it?
Good morning. There's some of... I think it's still... Is it still on? All right. Got it. Some of you may remember us. We came about a year ago and introduced LifeWise Academy, what we're about, what we were doing. So if you don't know what LifeWise Academy is, it's a Bible-based curriculum for public school students. Each public school has their own academy, so you may have heard that Graham has one, West Liberty is launching, Mechanicsburg is launching, and also Triad. So we were the pioneers, yeah, in this county, and you all gave us the honor of hosting that. And my name is Summer Woodburn, and this is Mandy Carroll. I was a volunteer in the classroom, and she is actually our director. And as Pastor said, we were here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The specifications for LifeWise Academy is that it has to be off school grounds, it has to be privately funded, and it has to be with parent permission. So those were the barriers we were up against. And starting from $0, we started last year about this time trying to raise money to even launch this academy. And you guys stepped in so graciously and said, okay, we don't know if you can use it, but here's our building. And so we wanted to come back today just to give you an update of how that went and actually show you a presentation from our own kiddos here in Urbana. So not some promotional video of some kids you've never seen before. These are actual people who live in your community who came through your church doors during the week, kids that had never picked up a Bible before, kids that when we said bow your heads to pray, they didn't know what we were talking about. So you will see the progression, and then we'll tell you a little bit more after that about where we're going next year.
These days my heart's always on the run. These days the world's spinning out of control. These days are fast and they're furious. Feels like
to me because we can pray and trust him and he will answer our prayers.
A story you remember learning at LifeWise?
The Tower of Babel.
Ooh, what about the Tower of Babel?
That people tried to build a tower all the way up to heaven.
That's right. And then what happened?
God separated them in all the languages.
Shine bright in a dark world and need it so like
Cynthia. We had a lot of fun last year, this past school year. I was also a volunteer and in the classroom a lot. I'm not a public speaker. I'll start by saying that. So I'm a little bit nervous. But when we started, you know, we figured we would start small. We started with, I think, 11 kids coming. And we only did grades 1 and 2 just because we wanted to see how that was going to go and kind of feel out, like, how much support and numbers we would get. I think by the time we ended, we had 56 kids just in first and second grade. So the support from the school has been amazing. About two-thirds of the kids that attended LifeWise have never been to church. So, and they were just soaking in everything that we had to tell them. And I had parents reach out, as the director, I've had parents reach out asking what Bible we use because they want to get a Bible for their kids to read at home. They're asking for Bibles. What churches in the community have really good youth programs. And so we're just, you know, we don't want to be their only access to Jesus, to learning about the gospel. We are trying to plug these children and their families into local churches. So hopefully, you know, with everybody's help and support from the community, like, we are able to do that. Because the support and interest has been so great, we met with the middle school principal, and we are going to be doing grades 1 through 8 next year. Registration is open for if you know a 1st through 8th grader. I have a daughter in 8th grade, and she's going to be attending, and she's excited with her friends from the school. So, so when we met with the principal and the assistant principal, we had a meeting at the school. Some of the administration at the school, they don't even go to church, but they are really excited. They see a need for just what we're doing, and so they're even excited, and, you know, they don't even really know what exactly it means to, you know, go to church and everything, but it's character education, so we're teaching them respect, we're teaching them, you know, a lot of different character traits that align with a lot of the things that the school is doing. We're just tying it back to the Bible and the gospel story, where they're not able to do that. So I think I maybe hit everything, so.
So what do we need? We need volunteers. 1st through 8th grade is going to be a lot for us. We had the bare minimum volunteers. Our board members were all, you know, a lot of us were volunteers in the classroom. You don't need any special degree. You just need to be called. If the Lord is, you know, pricking your heart and saying you have a heart for these students in this community, we would love to have you. It's going to take a lot of hands to do what but we've always kind of been a board, and Judah knows this too, we've always been a board of directors that are like, okay, we feel the call, and we'll just let God figure out the rest. So that's what we're doing now. So we need help. So if you know someone who's available, we can let you know the hours and times. Maybe it's just for one grade. It's literally 2 hours of your day. And maybe you say, I can't do it every week, but maybe every other week, we can work around that. So if you know someone who has some available time and who has a heart for this community and children, we would love to have you. Number two, we need prayer. We need prayer. We make it sound wonderful up here, but we do meet obstacles. We do meet barriers. But God has overcome every single one of those. I have a school bus sitting in my yard right now because God provided our own bus to us. So, and it's not a testament to us. We say we were just called and we're being obedient to the call, but it is, we're wholly reliant upon God, his people, and the Holy Spirit to do only the work that they can do. So we just need people and prayers. If you feel like you want to give financially, we just bought a lot of the curriculum, and we still have to wrap the bus and paint the bus. So, but we know God's always opened doors. God's always provided. But we really wanted to just thank you all because we know that this is, we take your resources, right? We use your electricity. We use your water. We know that. We don't take that lightly, and we are so grateful that you provided this opportunity and that we can be a part of it. So thank you so much for allowing us to do it.
just to tell you a little bit more real quick about what's happening coming up. First of all, by the way, I want you to know as a church, we do not charge LifeWise money to be here. We consider it an outreach of our church to our community, and we consider it a blessing, to be honest with you. What's going to happen, though, they were here this past year on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but because of the expansion of the grades, they're looking to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, while knowing that we have a homeschool co-op that meets on Fridays, and maybe even twice on Monday, which is something they're talking about. So that's a step up of commitment for us as a church, but I'll tell you what, I love that our church building is being used consistently for an outreach into our community, amen? So we gladly take that on, but what it's gonna mean is we have crews that clean the church. Their schedule's probably gonna have to change a little bit. We're probably gonna have to do a little bit more upkeep as far as touching up paint on walls and cleaning carpets, but that's okay because you saw those young people in that video. They said 2/3 of the LifeWise students do not attend church somewhere. This is an incredible opportunity for us to touch our community with the name of Jesus, with just simply opening the doors to our building. Amen? So be in prayer about those things. If you're interested in volunteering, you can catch them before they go. Or if you missed it, I can tell you how to get a hold of them. Judah, you sit on the board still, right? Or did you step away? Okay. All right. But Judah does know information, how to contact people. You can ask Judah about it. Or if you're interested in supporting financially, we can get you the information for that too. But anyway, thank you for coming and presenting that. All right. Get your Bibles out. Let's get into the Word today. Psalm chapter 33, and we do have a baby dedication to close out church today and another thing after that, but thank you for being here today. I want to talk to you today about generations and the importance of generations, and certainly today being One Big Family Sunday, we're not only a multi-generational church, but we believe that God works through the generations that he has blessed us with. See, God is a God who thinks generationally. God himself is outside of time, but yet he works within it. And that we know that scripturally, the purposes of God's heart are seen through what the Bible says, all generations. Where's Gavin Brown at? He's going to come up and read a scripture for us. Come on up, Gavin. Everybody say hi, Gavin. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 33 and verse number 1, I need you to step on this side so you can use this microphone. That's for you right there. You can use mine if you want, or you can put yours up there. Psalm 33 and verse number 1. Go ahead, Gavin.
So it says, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and the stars were born. He assigned the seas its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates in the plan of the nations and thwarts all their schemes, but the Lord's plan stands firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken.
Amen. Thank you. So the last verse there, turn around there, says the counsel of the Lord stands forever for the plans of his heart to all what?
Generation.
Generation. You know what generations means? That means great-grandpa, grandpa, great-great-grandpa, down to dad, to you, and are you planning on getting married someday? I wish you luck, man. All right. You plan on having babies someday?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Wish you luck on that, too. But then the generations that come, your kids, believe it or not, your grandkids, that's the generations, right? Thank you, Gavin. Grab a seat. See, God works through the generations. Remember in Exodus, God introduces himself to Moses, and he introduces himself as I am. And in doing that, he's basically saying, I am, I exist, and there is no other, and all things come from me, and actually, I am actually really indescribable. So he introduces himself in a big picture way. But you know how else God introduces himself to Moses? He said, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. See, God is not only indescribable, bigger than all things, but God is also the God, because he works with individuals, he is the God of generations. See, he pays attention to the individual and how the individual lives life in relation to him. That's salvation. But yet God doesn't just think about the individual. He thinks a little bigger than that. And when he calls forth that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is the God that's saying, look, generationally, who I am needs to be passed down. And everybody says, amen. So turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 145. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and I think I got LJ coming up for that. Come on up, LJ. All right, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4.
I know there were people in front of me, older generations, and people prayed for me, and there was people in front of me that told me about Jesus, and I was fortunate, even though to be taken to church consistently. I was brought Bibles. I was explored. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had people in front of you that prayed for you, right? How many of you had somebody that was in front of you that prayed for you? And you said there, you're actually reading my notes. There were people in front of you that told you about Jesus. Isn't that right?
Yes.
How many of you had somebody generationally in front of you that told you about Jesus? Yes. And then you also said, you're reading this, me, I was fortunate enough to be taken to church consistently.
That's funny why it sounded weird.
I was bought Bibles. How many of you were taken to church consistently when you were growing up? How many of you had somebody bought you a Bible? Let me see. See, I was exposed to the things of faith. I saw my grandparents pray. I told you that story. I'll have you read your verse. Since you started reading my notes, let me finish that thought out. I told you this before. When I was a kid, my grandparents would have me there for a summer for a week. And I had a lot of cousins, like so many of them, I don't even know all their names, all right? And they would take us in and have us weeks at a time in the summer, taking turns being there. And my grandparents on that side, my mom's parents, they were farmers, hard workers. And I was one of those kids that was up at the crack of dawn. How many have one of those kids? I mean, he's up, he's busy, he's flying around. That was me right away. I would get up, walk out of my bedroom, and the first thing I would see in my grandma and grandpa's house would there be kneeling at their couch praying together at the start of every day. I had generations in front of me that set an example. My parents, I saw them worship. I saw them read their Bibles. I had examples to me in the generations before me that set an example of faith. So, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4 there.
I will exalt you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised is his great, and his greatness is unfathomable. And one generation shall praise the works of another and shall declare your mighty acts.
Amen. Thank you, LJ. Good job. I should have just let you keep reading my notes and preach. I've been fine. I've been okay with that. Yes, to the generations is what we are called to pass our faith on to. As a matter of fact, Noel, we got, by the way, we have kids working everywhere. Noel's on the screen back there. We have Sawyer on the soundboard. Teens are helping us today. If you'll throw up that first slide for me, please. See, no matter how you have come to faith in Jesus, however you have come to your salvation, it is our job as part of our faith to pass the faith down to the generations behind us. Now, let me tell you something. Can I just be real honest with you? This is not an option.
That's right.
It is part of our faith. If you've come to faith in Jesus, and you actually may be first generation in your salvation, but however you have come to your faith, it is part of our faith to pass the faith to the generations that come behind us. And again, I had people, I was fortunate, and this may not have been you, but I was fortunate that I had generations in front of me that passed faith to me. Again, people that prayed for me, that exposed me to Jesus, that took me to church, that I saw worship and I saw pray. My grandfather was a minister. My dad spent time in ministry. I had examples for me. But here's the thing about each generation. This is what you need to know. Every generation must discover God afresh. In other words, I have tried to be an example to my kids, and there's one in Tennessee, of the faith. But each of my kids still must make their own choice. You can't force the generations behind you to believe and follow Jesus. But the thing is this, is that we must, in every way capable, in every way possible, to be an example, to set it up so they can make a good choice. Proverbs says that we should train a child up in the way he should go and he should not depart from it. That's a precept. We set it up to give them an opportunity to make that choice. I want to ensure that the generations behind me, my own children, my grandchildren, now that I got one, my great-grandchildren, God willing, I'm still here. I plan on being here. I work out just so I can see them. But I want to ensure, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, that they not only hear me, but see me set an example of faith. Not just to hear me, but to see me in action set an example of what it means to live and follow Jesus. See, as a church, this is why we prioritize our children and our youth. See, both of these, I guess, programs in our church, they're growing. We need more volunteers, structures in place, but we need to grow in these things. But we prioritize our kids and our youth because we want to partner with what's happening at home in raising the kids into faith. It's one of the reasons we open our doors to LifeWise and to the homeschool co-op, why we do One Big Family on these days. We want to help pass along the faith to the generations that are coming behind us. But I have a question for you. I want you to think about something. Parents and even grandparents, when it comes to your home, what is the culture of your home? In other words, in your house, are you setting an example of the faith to the generation behind you that is there? And you must think this way. And you must purposefully think this way. Let me tell you where it starts. Let me tell you where it starts. It starts with that you, as a parent and a grandparent, and if so, if you're there, a great-grandparent, that you are consistently and in a fighting kind of way, persistently praying for the generations that are coming behind you, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. that you were fighting for them in prayer. And as I said, I believe, I'm fortunate, and maybe not all of you have had this, but I was fortunate that I had generations that were in front of me that prayed for me by my name through situations of my life. That you must be praying for your children. You must be praying for your grandchildren. Because I want to tell you something. If you believe what the scriptures say, then this is a serious business. This is not to be taken lightly. That we pray that our kids somehow, some way, come to saving knowledge in Jesus. Even if they got to take the hard road to get there, they get there. And not only come to saving knowledge of Jesus and life transformation, but we live this, what we call in this church, long-term discipleship. That they stay with it, and they keep going, and they persevere. I pray for my kids every day. I was praying for my kids before they even got out here into the world. First, when we knew we were pregnant with a baby, the prayer started. Prayed for them when they were babies, toddlers, grade school kids, middle school, high school, college. Now they're out living on their own. You never stop being a parent. I pray for them now. Yeah. That we always fight for the generations behind us. We got a grandbaby. Guess who I pray for? Grandbaby. That we're fighting in prayer for the generations behind us. How many know that the enemy has a plan? That we're not only praying for them, but we're praying against what the enemy would have. You must pray. Then here's the second thing that goes along with it. Then this whole, what they see and what they hear. That what they see in your home, or they see when they're hanging out with you, and what they hear in your home, and what they hear when you're around them, lines up with what you're praying for. See, raising your kids in the generations of faith is both show and tell. How many of y'all did show and tell when you were a kid in school? You got to bring something to school, and you got to stand up and tell about whatever you brought, right? That little boy in the video, he went home that day and showed mom that they constructed a golden calf. But I was glad you didn't stop there. I'm glad you guys smashed it. You just didn't make them. We smashed them too. See, your home, listen to me. Your home is the biggest case of show and tell that your kids have. My boys, this is before Hope was born. My boys, when they were little, there was a couple in the church we were at the time that would every once in a while take them and babysit them so we'd go do something. And one night, when we picked our boys up, the lady's named Kathy said, I need to tell you something, just something cute one of the boys said. I don't remember which one said it. But they just kind of out of the blue said, you know, when my mom and dad drive in the car, sometimes they hold hands. It's just an off statement. Sometimes when we're riding in the car, mom and dad hold hands. Do you realize that your kids watch what you do? But whatever voice, one of my boys said that, we just randomly, not every time, but randomly when we're driving, we'll hold hands. And sitting in the back seat in their car seat noticed it, and it made an impression on them in such a way that they told somebody about it. Your kids see what you do as much as they hear what you say. Raising your kids is the biggest case of show and tell that you got. Is the culture of show and tell in your home lining up with what you're praying for? Lord, I want my kids to be of character. I want my kids to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. I want my kids to persevere through trials in their life. I want my kids to be in control of their anger. I want my kids to have filthy language. I don't want my kids to watch stuff on TV they shouldn't. See, if you want to raise up the generations that are coming, you've got to show and tell. and you set the culture of your home. Don't pray one thing, then show them something else by how you live. Listen to me. Your kids will figure you out. And if they see hypocrisy in the home, chances are that's what they'll model in their life too. You've got to pray, and you've got to model what you want them to see and to do, and in turn, to live. In other words, you cannot pass down to the generations behind you what you are not growing in and walking in yourself. That's the first step of leadership, by the way. Leadership is example. Now listen, I get it. Nobody's going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. We've all had moments we're not at our best. But here's what I do know. Consistency wins the day. That what you are most consistent in is the model that they will see. What you are most consistent in are the seeds that you will plant in their life. That the culture of your home is that you yourself are growing in the faith, and they'll see that growth. That you yourself are walking this path of long-term discipleship, at times falling down and bloodying your knees and wiping up and putting band-aids up and keeping going. That you model what you want your kids to do. That's generational thinking. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who thinks generationally. That we pass our faith down, not just with our words, but with our actions. That's how we are to live. Now, here's what I know, because you haven't been perfect. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, I would raise my hand, I have not been doing a good job. I'll tell you something about that. Today is a day that you can start. And it could be maybe for some of you, your kids are gone and out of the home, and you know that you didn't do a good job when they were there. But today, you can make a start. You, by the way, you may have to say, hey, I'm sorry. You realize when your children, old or not, see your honesty with your mistakes, it'll say a lot to them. And to be honest. You know what? I haven't been my best. I didn't do well at this, and I want to apologize. But today, this day forward, I will do my best not just to tell, but also to show. I'm still growing. This is the calling. Listen to me. This is the calling of parenthood. Parenthood isn't this, well, let's just have some kids because just people have kids. I hope they turn out okay. The calling of parenthood is to be consciously purposeful in how you are raising them in the things of faith. And to be honest and aware with yourself of the example that you are setting. See, church, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you bring your kids to church. We have a lot of families out on vacation. We're praying for them. Amen. Amen. Church is not the primary source of growth of the things of faith in your child's life. You are. We're here to help you. But church can't replace you. You may be a single parent. God bless you. I pray for you. But you can do it. See, this is the calling of God on our lives. Now, again, your kids are going to make the choices they make. But you and your conscience, that you have done the best you could do with the help and the empowerment and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to raise them. and plant those seeds that they'll make a choice to do something with. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we'll just go back to my great-grandpa on my dad's side. My great-grandpa's name was Paul. Paul was a man of faith. Then my grandpa, his name was Jay, the man of faith. And my dad, his name is Donald. Don is a man of faith. I hope I am too. But then to my kids, that Ryan and my son Gavin and my daughter Hope are people of faith. I want to be able to say that God is the God of Paul and Jay and Donald and Kylan and Ryan and Gavin and Hope. The God of generations. Amen. And there's my goal. Let me tell you something. If I don't accomplish anything else in this world, but I know at the end of the day I did what I could for my kids, I'll be satisfied in my heart. Amen. But it's the responsibility of not only being married, but then having kids. The biggest responsibilities of your life are your spouse and your kids. Everything else comes after it. And to be consciously purposeful in what you do with those things. Amen? That's the call of generations. So here's what we're going to do to close out service. We're going to do a baby dedication in just a second. Then after, I want everybody to stay after that, we're going to pray together as families. And I'm going to have a challenge with that, okay? So if we would, is little Thomas in here? Come on down. We got Thomas and Chelsea, Vaughn. Any of her family wants to come? Where's Grandpa Thomas at, too? We got three generations of Thomases here. I like it. Come on, Renata, you're allowed to come, too. And Theo. Amen. Margo, if you come down here, please. Hi, Atticus. How are you? You come here too, buddy. Come on down here, bub. Stay here with Miss Margo. There we go. Anybody else want to come? Oh, he's okay. He's allowed. He can stay with us. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Oh, he's here. Oh,
he's here for dedication? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Where's Lydia at?
She's downstairs with the baby.
Can we get her? Or is she?
I think he's
napping. Oh, snap. Well, I want to do this when she's up here. Yeah, see if she can come. We'll give it a second, okay? If you didn't notice, we have a lot of kids running around here. I thought he was just wanting to come pray with us. I was like, cool, man, let's go. I'll give you the microphone. Atticus.
I say he just wants to be involved.
All right, well, good. We'll pray over him. I think we have, three babies being born? Later this year?
Between September and January.
We have four brand new babies coming between September and January. Amen. So if you ever again feel called to work in a kids' church, now's the time. We're growing the kids' church. That is the best way to grow the church, by the way, within the house. Not just to see people saved and come in, but also grow the church that way. You guys are doing a good job today. Atticus was my buddy at the VBS. We hung out together, didn't we, man? Yeah. We'll give it just a second here. What we'll do is we'll pray over them. If she isn't able to come up, then we'll grab her when she's up and pray at that point. That's okay. So how old is Thomas now?
Almost 6 months.
And who does he look like? He looks like kind of... Yeah. Oh, she's able to come. Are we praying over both your babies? Or just Atticus?
What's the...
Arden.
Arden and Atticus. Okay, if you guys would just come over. Everybody, would you stand up with me, please? Let me read something here. This is a happy, and it's actually a significant occasion. Like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your children to the house of God to present them to the Lord. And you've heard the words of the Master, suffer not the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. These little children that we have here are not just a mystery and a wonder, but God has placed them in our midst in order to help raise them in the things of the Lord. And the scriptures bear witness to that. See, we're confident of the divine approval of each of these children that are brought here today. Dedicated to the house, but dedicated to the Lord, to his service. It is our duty as the Christian congregation to receive these children in the care of the church, to minister to their welfare in every possible way. Again, we're partnering with you as a parent to train them up in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22. See, God has a purpose for each of these children's lives. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will be a blessing. It's our job to raise them towards those things. It is the privilege of parents and also the church and their duty to guide the children in a way as to make the will of the Lord the greatest ambition of their lives. And to this task, we're dedicating these children today, but also the parents and the church along with it, that we will do these things to the best of our ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's pray. I want everybody to join along with prayer. Let's pray over Thomas here. Lord, we thank you for this baby right here, that he will grow in the things of the Lord, that he will be counted among those who follow you and have given their lives to you, that he lives life with wisdom in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, in daily life and in calling. And I thank you for him, that he is called of you, created divinely by you. And I pray for Thomas and Chelsea and the family, Lord. They have wisdom in every stage of life, perseverance and patience, and the help of the Holy Spirit to do everything they know to do to raise this young man and you. And I thank you for that, Lord. We dedicate him to the Lord today, to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we got Arden and Atticus, right? So come on up. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these young men right here, that they also will grow in the things of the Lord, be counted among your followers, that their lives will be dedicated to you all the days of their life, that they live according to your callings, according to your plans and designs, according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that they will not depart from you to the left or the right. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And we dedicate them to you today for your service in the kingdom. And I pray for Seth and Lydia also, that they walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In every moment and every day and every decision to be made, everything they're to do, that they do so in your will and your wisdom. And I thank you for them as parents. You have given these young men to them to raise into things that you are. And they're equipped for the task. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, thank you. Thank you. Good job, guys. All right, well, here's how I'd like to close out service today. I want you to gather with your family that's here. If you don't have family here, come down front and we'll adopt you into somebody. But I want you to gather with your family, and I want you as a family to pray together, okay? And I want you as a family to encourage one another and to speak life over the generations that are present, okay? So do that. Grab a family member. If you don't have somebody, just come down and I'll put you with somebody, okay?